This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Wow! On WGR. Sports Radio 550.
Quick add to that ESPN story is that apparently some of the Monday night games will be on ABC now. They can move games to ABC. Maybe it's like the best matchups that they would do that for. I don't know, but that's different. Welcome back. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. Sneaky Joe is here. And oh boy. Sigmund Bloom is here on the West Shore Hotline, the great man, Sigmund Bloom. Sigmund, my turn to ask the questions.
Yeah, hey, I welcome any interactions we can have.
Thank you. We'll get some Bills in here quickly in our conversation. Deshaun Watson is such a big story, and there's more back and forth on him today. From a fantasy football standpoint, Sigmund Bloom with us from Football Guys, what are the effects here? Like, are you seeing, or would you yourself be like extra careful on Watson or everybody having to do with Houston? Or is it instead like too much of a leap at this stage to think that he might not play at all?
It's not too much of a leap. And I think for him and his agent to take such a strong stance publicly and not follow through, you know, agents are businessmen, and it would certainly make players in the future not trust the agent to follow through or otherwise make them look foolish by taking these public stands. We're in an interesting moment here, Mike, where the player empowerment era is being tested, if it can jump at least to quarterbacks in the NFL. I think that if you have Watson as your only quarterback on your dynasty team, or if you're doing early best ball drafts, you're certainly having to plan on Watson, you know, at least a 50-50 chance of not playing early in the season. And once he misses the first game, he could miss the whole season, a la Le'Veon Bell. So who would it implicate? Maybe Will Fuller, maybe Brandon Cooks, both of those players. David Johnson, you know, we heard about Duke Johnson getting released today. David Johnson they want to keep. So, but really, I think, yeah, stay away from Houston as soon as we figure out who's even going to be in the Texans offense.
Assuming it doesn't change, the situation doesn't change for the next several months here, Sigmund, when is the best time as a dynasty owner to try and pounce and maybe be able to, you know, get a good deal for him?
After week one.
Okay.
Because I think that anybody who has him won't be convinced that it's going to materially hurt their fantasy team until he misses a game. And I think, again, that's when the Le'Veon Bell case will seem right. Very instructive. Because if he misses one game, he's just as likely to miss one more as he is to miss 15 more. And it just depends on whether this Texans front office will cave to him. And from all outward indications I can see, Mike, we can't really use a rational decision matrix when predicting what they're going to do.
Yeah, I guess not. All right, well, that one will need to be watched. How about Russell Wilson in this way? I think it's different.
Yeah. Oh, it is different. I think in part because just from the outside looking in, and really the outside looking in is like the inside for the Houston situation, it's reasonable to understand why a player like Watson, who's only 25, would say, I don't want my prime years to be attached to this organization. Whereas Russell Wilson, I think, is just trying to speak to his partner in a way through the media because the relationship is really chilly. Now, Mike, we might say, I don't put a number on it, but the higher percentage chance of either of these quarterbacks being traded is Watson.
Mm-hmm.
But the higher percentage chance of either of these quarterbacks being traded before the season is probably Wilson, because we know that Seattle's going to be rational, and they don't have their next two first-round picks because of the Jamal Adams trade. They may realize, and by they, it might be, you know, Pete Carroll, that Russell Wilson isn't necessarily the best fit. Look, he's, what, 32? So maybe the delay in the Deshaun Watson action could create the market for the Seahawks to get about the same for a 32-year-old Russell Wilson as the Texans would get for a 25-year-old Deshaun Watson if they just were being honest with themselves about the situation.
Yeah. You know, Sigmund, we've been – it's talk radio, right? We're very excited about the possibility of there being lots of different quarterbacks on new teams. I kind of – I'm always rooting for it. Wilson, Watson, all of them. I sort of root for the change. We even in here had a draft a few weeks ago where we pick teams and get points based on how experienced their new quarterback is. Joe here struck with the Rams, who got Matthew Stafford and scored big there. And so from a fantasy standpoint, what can you do as a player to try to capitalize on this? If it's not too broad a question, maybe it is, because all these situations are different. But is there a certain mindset for the fantasy player when this is all sort of in the air?
Well, just like any other situation, Mike, I think this is what you're describing really is the game of the offseason, right? Because we have free agency and we have the draft. And you can take stands. You can basically, the same way you can in betting markets now, you can bet on what's going to happen and benefit if it doesn't. If you're wrong, you know, you may take a hit. But, you know, take the Jets, for instance. I think that it's highly likely that they're going to end up with Zach Wilson at number two, who is an excellent passer, very refined passing quarterback. And when you add that in, to the Adam Gase bounce that we've seen when Gase leaves somewhere or a player gets to play outside of his umbrella, then they start to fulfill their talents. You know, maybe this is a time to look at Denzel Mims, somebody who could have his arrow pointing up. And also, I think you're just judging these organizations. And, you know, is Chicago going to get a quarterback? You know, that's a good one to think. Maybe Mitchell Trubisky is going to start again in week one because I don't trust them to adequately address their quarterback because they haven't done it in the entire length of the Pace Nagy regime. So, you know, Allen Robinson, who you might project to be tagged again, you aren't going to project growth for. So I think it's just like the classic Wayne Gretzky skating to where the puck's going to be, not where it is.
Yes, you're right to correlate it to the betting markets. Thinking about how the Bucks last year at this time were huge odds to win the Super Bowl, they go and get Tom Brady and then almost ended up the favorite, and then, of course, won it. One quarterback not moving, Josh Allen. So just to preface this question, I mean, fantasy football for most people is July and August, but there are leagues. Dynasty is booming in popularity that go year-round, and this can be an active time. And I've been in a couple of drafts already. Allen is the quarterback, too.
Yeah.
Mahomes is one, Allen is two, and then it can be different guys at three. Is that how you see it? Is that how you see it staying?
Yeah. Well, he had that one hiccup. It was a little bit weather-based. I think he was starting to put more on his shoulders. And, of course, there's the lasting image of the AFC Championship game where the whole team seemed to shrink. But I think as far as the fantasy layers here, one is that I hate to say it because I love John Brown's game. He's not going to be back with the team. I think that's a formality. So you're looking at Gabriel Davis and Dawson Knox, who had a nice touchdown run at the end of the year, as players whose arrows could be pointing up. And then hopefully an improved running game. I think that's definitely going to be the top of the offseason priority list, some infusion of talent running back in some way or focus on the running game. But overall, we should only expect the offense to be better than it was this year.
Would you be off of the Bills, the two running backs they have, Singletary and Moss, entirely?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, well, this is just a team. If we're simulating, what is this team going to do? I mean, maybe make a run at J.J. Watt. But otherwise, I think one of the things that was exposed in the AFC title game is if you're not presenting a threat, a credible threat of a running game, it still makes you easier to defend in the playoffs. Maybe not in regular season, but in the playoffs, things get tighter.
Right. Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com, our guest. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. Staying with the Bills.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs in a PPR league, wide receiver what, and is he in the? Does he have a shot at the first round when it's said and done?
Wide receiver two, I would say.
Two.
I mean, you weigh him against Tyreek Hill, maybe Tyreek Hill too. Davante Adams is going to remain number one, but you know, Diggs, if anything, could get better because, again, Diggs was one of those players that blew up this idea, DeAndre Hopkins to an extent too, that wide receivers with new teams right. are players to avoid in fantasy drafts because they're going to take a hit. And I think that Diggs, if anything, showed that he's the alpha that he wanted to be, the alpha that the Bills were hoping to get. And, again, without John Brown, that increases his ceiling too.
And, you know, this is simplistic, but he really didn't have the touchdowns. And you might think no. that an even bigger year can come for him. Maybe not the same level leading the league in catches and yards, but if the touchdowns, he had eight, that's a good number, but it's not nowhere near the league lead. So maybe there's a bounce in that direction, too, that could even substantiate your thinking on Diggs.
And three came in week 16. So, I mean, that's a lot of room for growth.
That's right. That's right. So, Sigmund, the top of these drafts that I've been in, one name that's new to the top five, at least, or top six, maybe, this year is Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
You have several running backs going into year two, and Taylor, in terms of these drafts, is at the top of the list. Maybe DeAndre Swift would be second. He's one name for that consideration. What about Taylor up above players like Saquon Barkley and even Derrick Henry? Would you be up for that?
No. I'm not saying it's impossible that it will look right in hindsight, but I do think we have to still entertain the possibility of Marlon Mack coming back to the Colts on a very inexpensive deal coming off of an injury. I do think that Carson Wentz is only going to be good for Taylor, but also we have to take into account that Wentz isn't going to target running backs the way that Phillip Rivers did. That's bad for my man, Nyheim Hines. but, you know, Taylor does seem like the best second-year running back to take, but at the same time, even somebody like Ezekiel Elliott, I think it's somebody going behind him in a lot of drafts, and I'm not sure that is called for when we look at what Elliott did with Dak Prescott in the lineup. So you want to get ahead of these value growth, but, you know, you take a player like Josh Jacobs, for instance, who was about a third-round value in his rookie year. People took him in the late first, early second round last year, and he ended up being about a third-round value again last year.
Right, and Miles Sanders, too, in that mm-hmm. in that category. How about Cam Akers? There's definitely a hype train there. Maybe he should be the number two guy on that list, second-year players.
Yeah. And I would probably take him over DeAndre Swift, even though Swift's going to get as much work as he can handle under Anthony Lynn. And really what this highlights, Mike, is you can make a list of your top 20 fantasy running backs right now, and you're probably going to have somebody, say, between 10 and 15 that everybody else has between 15 and 20 because it's that deep. You know, maybe it's David Montgomery. Maybe it is Miles Sanders who's falling to the third round in the law draft. So you shouldn't feel like you have to take a running back in the first round this year because the names and quality is going to be better than what we usually see in the second and third round.
I agree with that. So in FFPC drafts, that's one fantasy football site that a lot of avid players yeah. use, they have a certain scoring feature that you don't usually see in other places, which is tight ends get a point and a half per reception. Sigmund, I know you know this. So
yeah.
tight ends get a point and a half. That vaults Travis Kelce into the top three sometimes in these drafts. In fact, and I'm going to get to this, I'm not in love with Kelce going into next year at this early stage, but in that particular format, I'll do it. Then I get done with my, so I've done two of those teams, Sig, and I get done with those drafts and I'm like, where are my good players? I got Swift, maybe I've got Chris Godwin, but taking Kelce up top sort of leaves you a little bit wanting on the rest of your roster. So in most leagues where you don't have that particular scoring feature, he won't be picked in the top three probably, but he'll still be picked in the first round, I bet.
Yeah.
Where do you want to end up with him?
Well, I'm okay with saying maybe instead of Kelce in the first, let's go Kittle in the second or Waller in the second. But I think that where that really comes back to help you is in the fantasy playoffs, when you have Kelce or Kittle or Waller and your opponent is starting Cole Kmet, you know, just rubbing two sticks together. Because last year, look, even the tight ends like Mark Andrews or TJ Hawkinson that we would look at as rounding out the top five in most drafts right now, it was a roll of the dice. Some weeks you got 2 points, some weeks maybe you got 10 or 15, but they weren't players that could make your week like Waller and Kittle and Kelce can. And then you count on good management and good drafting to build your running backs and wide receivers. In other words, after last year, we saw it's easier to get something that works at running back and wide receiver as the year goes on than tight end. If anything, tight end got thinner and more difficult as the season went on.
How are you on Waller, by the way? You mentioned him as a tight end three. That's probably where he lands, although you do see two for him.
Yeah. How can you argue with what he did? You know, he had one of the top 10 individual games for a tight end in NFL history in fantasy terms.
Right, the Jet game.
And he never really dropped off after that. So, you know, he looks like a player that, if we look at Henry Ruggs, look, Nelson Agholor may or may not be back. Well, who else is there to demand targets anyway? So I think we're seeing Waller really come into its prime. And it gives us hope of some potential late bloomers at the position. You know, somebody like David Njoku, Mo Alie-Cox, some of these hyper-athletic guys who, because of injuries or opportunity, haven't put it together yet. Because that was basically Waller's profile 2 years ago. Logan Thomas, who's a little bit older, but still, you know, these are guys that we can see that we didn't give much of a thought, or, you know, in Njoku's case, we kind of abandoned, but it may still be something there.
Logan Thomas, who passed through here. What do you think of Troutman where you live in New Orleans?
Yeah, they love him. And Jared Cook's not going to be back. I think that if we're handicapping the quarterback situation here, like, what is it, like 90% it's going to be Winston. I would love it to be Taysom Hill, but I think they are planning on Winston's. It's his job to lose at this point, and that's good for Troutman, and they're very happy. And look, when the Saints trade up for these players in the second day, or even let's look back at Jimmy Graham, who they took in the third round, you know, they generally hit on these guys. Alvin Kamara is another guy they traded up for. I trust Mickey Loomis when it comes to identifying talent that fits in their offense.
I just said earlier in passing how Dynasty is booming and there are players who are avid this time of year, I being one of them, and some listeners might not think so or really feel that. Your site, Football Guys, indispensable. I mean, so good for all kinds of players, DFS too. What is right now for you at work? What are you focusing on?
Early rankings, trying to take advantage, like we already talked about, getting ahead of certain situations in free agency in the draft, taking advantage of a value lag that we can see coming. Rookies, learning the rookies in the draft, that's just fun. I mean, the more you understand these players, the more meaningful the draft is, the more you pick your guys that you like. Look, we've seen rookie wide receivers the last 2 years be really important players in fantasy leagues. Justin Jefferson was a player that gave you a much better chance to win if you ended up with him. And this year's class of wide receivers presents a lot of possibilities for another Justin Jefferson. So I think that's where you can start, is just getting to know this great wide receiver class.
Right on. All right, Sigmund, this has been fun as always. Yeah. Any questions for me?
Is Bulldog okay? Everything all right?
He's in Texas watching his son play hockey.
Oh, that's great.
If that seems a little sort of counterintuitive, I don't think you would think so, but his son plays for a team in New Mexico.
Right. Wow. I was just in New Mexico. Well, you know, you mentioned Texas and hockey. I understand if that is traumatic for your listeners.
99? I guess. All right, Sigmund, I'm already looking forward to our next chat. Thanks for today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. I look forward to it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. right, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.